I want you to open your Bibles. We should have the scripture on the screen, too. It's Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. And I want to share with you at the end of this how God used this passage to call me into the ministry. Jesus is preaching and teaching his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount. We talked about there being Pharisees, pagan Gentiles, and disciples in the audience. That's what made up his audience. And he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, Jesus had, just to kind of put this into context, he had warned the Pharisees about their hypocrisy, how they did things for show and for notice and for attention. And he told them, he said, whatever you do, if you get the applause of men, that's all you're going to get. Your rewards are here. They're not in heaven. This is it. And that's why you do it, and you'll get what you deserve for doing it. And he warned the pagans about their vain repetition. He talked to them about prayer, and he says, you know, a lot of you just babble on. Your mind is not attached to your mouth. Your mouth is just running on and on with vain repetitions. And your heart's not involved. Your head's not involved. You're just making noises. And then he taught them how to pray. When you pray, pray like this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, on and on. And we talked about the model prayer last week that Jesus taught them, and the elements of prayer, not that they were just to repeat that prayer and that was it, but it was the elements of that they're to incorporate when they address their Father. And now he encourages them with the promise of answered prayer. And this is exciting. He gives them three elements that he encourages them to incorporate in their prayer life. The first thing he gives them is a command. And the command is to ask, seek, and knock. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Now, there are three verbs here. They're all in the present imperative tense with an emphasis on persistence. That means continuing action. What he's saying is keep on asking, keep on knocking, and keep on seeking. Asking, seeking, and knocking, not just once, but with persistence, with continuing action. That's important. Some people say, I don't even need to ask. God already knows what I'm thinking. He says, keep on asking. Some say, well, all I'll do is ask and I'll do no more. Then he says, you must seek. And some say, well, I'll ask and seek, but he says, knock. And some people are afraid to knock because the door might open. And then what do they do? I think I've shared this quote with you before. Jack Deere, who wrote Surprised by the Voice of God, Surprised by the Power of God, a little bit on the charismatic side, but he did make this statement. He said, I was afraid to fully commit my life to Christ because I didn't know what he was going to ask me to do. Now, how many of us are there? If I give him a full surrender, he might send me over to China to start one of these home churches. Then what am I going to do? Am I going to do it? So some people will ask. Some people will ask and seek. But a lot of people won't knock. In James chapter 4, verse 2, James says, you have not because what? You ask not. So we have to ask. We have to start by asking. And for those that say, well, God already knows what my needs are, why should I ask him what he already knows? And the answer is simple, because prevailing, persevering prayer prepares you to receive God's answer. It changes your life, and it places you in the position of submitting yourself to the will of God. Sometimes we have to get ready. Sometimes our hearts have to change. When you pray, Jesus says, not if you pray. He is assuming that a disciple is going to want to talk to his or her Heavenly Father. He's just assuming that. Like on Father's Day, both of my sons call me. They do that every Father's Day and every birthday. One's in Atlanta, one's in L.A. They do the same for Donna. Now, they're too busy to come to wherever we are, so we go to them because we don't have anything to do, you know. So we'll go see them, but I'm assuming they're going to call me on Father's Day and on my birthday, and hopefully other times too. I'm not ridiculing them or anything like that. But most of you mothers would want your child to call you every day. I guess. But not if they want something. So never mind, because they always want something. You know, do you have people in your life, if they call you, you know they're wanting something? If they show up on the caller ID, I wonder what they want. Anyhow, God already knows what we want, but God wants us to call him. He wants us to show up and communicate with him persistently. So it's not if you pray, but when you pray. Now, I want you to notice that the call to prayer is given in an ascending scale to challenge your faith and to prompt your perseverance. What does he say? Ask, seek, and knock. And each one of these steps on this ascending scale presupposes certain things. To ask, you must have a knowledge of God's will as revealed in his word. The Bible says if we ask anything according to his will, he will give it to us. And so a lot of people say, well, I prayed for something and God didn't give it to me. What did you pray for? To win the lottery? The word does not say God's going to guarantee you're going to win the lottery. It doesn't promise certain things that we are bold enough to ask for. But he says if we ask according to his nature and according to his will, in knowing him, he will listen and he will answer. There are things that your child or grandchild would not ask you for because they know you're not going to do it. But there are things they know you will do because it's your nature, and you would desire to do it for them, and you would gladly do it for them. But certain things they would not ask you because they know you well enough. And so this is presupposing that we're going to take the time to know about our Heavenly Father, to know His nature and His will. So we ask according to what we know about His will as revealed in His Word. To seek God means we must have the faith to trust God and His timetable and have the confidence to believe that He will do what He has promised to do. When we seek God, we don't come demanding He answer according to our schedule. But we trust Him to answer according to His will. And then He says, knock. We must be willing to submit to His will in His timing as it is revealed. Many people pray for things and truly believe that God will answer. But they're unwilling to walk through the door that God opens when He opens it. That's an interesting reality. I think I've shared this with you before. The great theologian Garth Brooks wrote his song, Sometimes I Thank God for Unanswered Prayer. Talked about going home and seeing his old girlfriend at a football game, and he said, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayer. What if God gave you everything you asked for? Would you be better off or worse off? Because sometimes we don't want what God wants, we want what we want. Our will be done, not His. So we have to trust God. When we ask God for answers, we have to trust Him with His answers. Because sometimes His answers are very challenging, require a lot of faith, boldness, strength, change. We must be willing to walk through the doors that God opens in response to our prayers. So we have a command, ask, seek, and knock. Be asking, be seeking, be knocking, be believing, trust His will, trust His timing, and have the boldness to walk through the open door that God provides. Secondly, we have a promise. And the promise of answered prayer is universal, yet it's conditional. What does that mean? All prayers will be answered when those who pray meet God's conditions. He says, everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, this is verse 8, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. So that sounds like a promise to me. Everyone who asks must know the one personally that they're asking. You don't walk up to a stranger on the street and ask that person for healing. Ask that person for comfort. You go to someone you know that you can trust. You go to someone who has the capacity to answer what you're asking. And in this context, it's God's. And then we ask, like we said, according to God's nature and according to God's will. And with a willingness to receive the answer that comes. So we ask our Heavenly Father, we seek His will according to His schedule, and we knock and are ready to walk through open doors. Prayer will be answered. That's His promise. He gives us the promise. If we ask, we'll receive. If we seek, we'll find. If we knock, the door will be open. And then he gives us an illustration to kind of help us grasp what he's saying. Verses 9 through 11. Which of you, now he's talking to Pharisees, he's talking to disciples, and he's talking to pagan Gentiles. This is his audience. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So he's saying here, if human parents who are evil, he put that in there, give good gifts to their children, and a child asks for bread or a fish, his parents, his evil parents, will not give him a rock or a serpent. Therefore, he says, God, who is good, as opposed to you and my audience here, he's talking to, who are evil, will give good gifts to his children. So the Pharisees gave good gifts to their kids, even though they were evil. The pagan Gentiles did, the disciples did. And then he says, in context or in relationship to that, think of your heavenly Father, who is the creator of every good and perfect thing that exists. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? So we have to believe, we have to understand that God wants the best for us. And you say, well, Brother Jim, people get cancer, they have strokes, they have heart problems, they have all kinds of situations and relationships and finances and all of that. God understands and God knows. But God can intervene, God can help, God can comfort, God can heal, God can do whatever God wants to do. We have to trust Him to do what's best. God gives what is good. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from above. At best, our answers to the needs of our children are inferior to God's answers. God's answers are always better than ours. On the other hand, God who gives good gifts does not give bad gifts. That's the flip side of that. Suppose, and this is his example, suppose a child asks his earthly father to give him a rock to eat instead of bread, or a serpent instead of a fish. Would he do it? Of course not. He wouldn't do that. God, who is all wise, knows what's best for us. Someone said, if it were the case that whatever we ask, God was pledged to give, then I, for one, would never pray again, because I would not have sufficient confidence in my own wisdom to ask God for anything. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, I thank God that He is not prepared to do anything that I may ask Him, that I may chance to ask Him. I am profoundly grateful to God that He did not grant me certain things for which I ask, and that He shut certain doors in my face. So God gives good gifts, but He doesn't give bad gifts. That's a pretty clear illustration that Jesus gives us about prayer. You, as His child, ask as you understand how God would have you to ask, based on your knowledge of His will as revealed in His Word. That means it is important for us to know as much as we can know about God. one benefit of getting older is that we spend a lot of time learning that the things we thought were right were wrong. And we've had the opportunity to grow. Hopefully, older age doesn't mean you're more spiritual. We all know that. But hopefully, if we've learned our lessons in life and we've grown in our relationship with God, we know more about God's will and God's nature, and our prayer life has matured. And the things we ask for, we come to God in faith, not as a demand, but trusting God's will and God's timing to answer. And in faith, we seek for His answers as long as they take, knowing that God's ultimate answer will be good and perfect and the best answer for us. And as we desire to do His will, we knock at every apparent door, and we're willing to walk through the open doors and not push through closed doors so that our will is done. Rather, we submit to His will. Back in 1974, I was on a search team at our church to find an associate pastor to do education and youth work. And I was working at Parent and Child Development Services as associate director. We were doing adoptions, a home for delinquent girls, a daycare center, an adoption program. And we had thought we had a candidate, didn't go through. And God started burdening me, and I talked to Donna, and I talked to my boss where I was working. And I said, I think God's calling me to do this. I think, because about 6 months after I was saved as a teenager, I went down front and I committed myself to full-time Christian service. But what I said was, God, when you're ready for me, come and get me. That was my attitude. That whenever God wanted me, he would just come and get me. And so one Wednesday night, we were in prayer meeting. We were going through this process, and I was wondering about what God wanted for me to do about ministry. And our associational missionary came and spoke, and he said, I heard someone speak recently on this passage, Matthew 7:7. I feel like I need to share it with you tonight about asking, seeking, and knocking. He said, a lot of us ask God, and we just wait on God to come to us with an answer. And he said, but that's where we stop. We don't seek and we don't knock. And unless we knock on the door, we don't know if it's going to open. Just like any candidate that y'all have as a potential pastor, you can say, let's just pray over this list and see if somebody shows up. You know, that's not, you got to seek and you got to knock to see if the door opens or if it closes. That's the process in prayer. And so that's what really got my attention, that I had just stopped at asking. And I said, well, what have I got to lose by going and talking to the pastor? So I talked to him. Next thing I know, I was ordained. I was associate pastor of education and youth. And I had already gotten my master's in education. I was going to be a high school counselor. Funny thing was, we commuted from Savannah to Georgia Southern. I commuted every day during the summer with two school teachers, and they said, Jim, whatever you do, don't be a school teacher. So if you can find something else to do, don't do this. And so they talked me out of it. And so God opened the door, and I got into the social service ministry. And so after we started at the church, the pastor was going to Luther Rice Seminary in Jacksonville. It was a seminary started by a pastor for pastors who were in ministry who could not uproot their families and go off to seminary. And so next thing you know, I was driving back and forth every week to Jacksonville from Savannah to go to seminary, and I got and the reason I did it, I was praying about where to go, and I got a letter from the seminary that said, if you qualify for the GI Bill, you can commute to school and you can get the GI Bill benefits for doing it. So it covered all the expenses to do that. So God orchestrated it all, but I had to quit sitting and waiting. I had to start seeking and knocking for the doors to be open. And God just made a path, but if I had just sat there and said, God, just one day come and zap me and let me know something, wouldn't have happened, not the way it happened. So you have to put feet on your prayers, you have to put faith in your prayers, and you have to be persistent, and you have to be trusting, and let God do his work. So let's just stop there. Comments or questions, or anybody else want to share an example of how they have worked through this process of asking, seeking, and knocking, and seen it work in their life? Anybody want to share anything or ask anything?
We've seen it work in pastor search.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had what we thought were doors open, but they closed. And we knew that this wasn't the man for this church.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we want to just shove that door open. We want so bad to get a resolution or something, and God didn't open the door. You know, I always see it as the knob being on the inside of the door, and God turns the knob and opens the door in, and we walk through it. We don't force it open. And I think sometimes churches and Christians, we try to force things because we think it looks good to us. Let's make it happen. And God's not always in that, is he? He's not always in that. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Well, that's a good thing. Say you just graduated from college with a degree in a certain field, and you want a job, and you don't know what to do. So you pray. Say, God, just show me what some options are. Show me what the opportunities are. Now, if you stop there, you're not going to be any farther down the path than you were. So you go apply. You knock on the doors, you see what's available. Most of them, they will not open. The one that God wants you, if you're trusting God and waiting on God, God will show you that's the open door. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's happened to Don and I in ministry. You know, we always wonder, what is it that God wants for us? What's the be in the right place, and God is always, if we wait on God, he will show you where it is at the right time, and he will then give you peace after you walk through that open door. Yes, this was where God wanted us to be. He will give you that.
Thank you.
That's right. The hardest part is waiting. If we trust God and we know God's going to do the best thing, we just say, yeah, but I'm tired of waiting. You know, a good example is Abraham and Sarah. You know, God made them a promise, and they got tired of waiting. They were going to help God out. That has not ended well for history. You know, it's complicated things, hasn't it? But that's a good example of God saying, you know, I will open the door when the time is right. Yes, ma'am. He will shut doors, and where we get in trouble is, well, no, I'm not going to accept that. That's right. We won't accept it when God shuts it. But he has something better for us. That's an encouragement. That a closed door is an encouragement that God's got something better than that. That's right. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right. Right. We'll settle for what's expedient. You know, rather than what's best. Because we want an answer. So we can move on to something else, you know. Anybody else? All right, let's have a prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for your word. Your word is truth. It challenges us. Lord, I hope that as we've explained it and used Jesus' example of evil fathers, and you are a good father, God, we know that even evil fathers give good gifts to their children. You give the best gifts to your children. You don't give bad gifts. Help us to ask. Help us to put feet on our prayers and seek. And help us to have faith in our hearts to knock and wait on you to open the door. And when that happens, the best answers will come. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.